space.
I think so.
Thank you so much. Let's be sure that I'm being heard all the time. Any comments back there?
No.
Okay. All right. Thank you all so much. And, you know, ask me to give this address by this people honor. And I still feel very grateful. He asked you throughout this week to pray for one another, and especially for those who will be leading by speaking or directing the praise or providing music. Satan always tries to get to anybody who wants to do this in Jesus' name. But let us all live in to the wisdom, power, find embrace of God. I was thinking of that this morning because last night when I was investigating the room, I discovered that the refrigerator ring here was not full. I thought, how can I put my large and valuable stock of protein bars into this warm box? I started investigating. There was a phone knob. I turned it. Nothing happened. So, then I thought, maybe if I could follow the cord, I meant something. The cord was not plugged in. And then we got some kind of loud motor without a muffler started. Now the refrigerator was just the right temperature to preserve my stock of protein. I am doing my best to remember to plug in to the wisdom, powers, and kindness of God. You will stay out of me. Our message is called Trust and Transformation. The basis is 2 Kings chapter 5, the story of the healing of Syrian leper women. I was first introduced to this story when I was about 11 years old in Sunday school, and our teachers taught us to remember, and Proverbs 20, chapter 11 says, even a child is known by his deeds, whether what he does is pure and good. We're going to be looking at two of the biblical characters in this story, the little Hebrew slave boy and the very powerful Syrian general named. So I'm reading from 2 Kings 5, selected verses. This is the New King James. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. He waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who lived in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel." Those are the first four verses, and they remind us of today, don't they? Hearing and fighting each other.
Yes.
People being captured, taken hostage. So this little girl, whose name and age, and famous it's such a good mystery. We do not. Was taken captive by the Syrians and brought into the land of Syria as a slave. Probably at the time of the story, she's about 12 years old. She has learned enough of the Syrian language to communicate with Naaman's household, where she is a slave. And she says, if only Naaman on that trip. Or with the prophet in Israel, he would be here. I don't know what her motivation was, but she had great faith and great trust and knew that her master could be well. So, by a series of events, Naaman, the Syrian general, the leper, finds his way to the house of Elisha, the prophet, in Israel. And it started with nothing. 2 Kings chapter 5. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. I not the Arana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, together than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in death? And so he turned and went away in a rage. Well, I've been to Israel a time when the weather was the dry season. I tell you, the Jordan River is not necessarily very appetizing.
No. No, it's not.
It's dry and muddy. I'm going to want too much. So you can understand that the name of the having people refer to him, obey him, and do him respect and honor. He really thought that Elisha would come out of the house and perform a beautiful ceremony of healing. Instead, send a messenger to say, go and wash in the mighty But the serpent of Naaman were very afraid. Now, he should have stuck it off their head for what they said. But they said, the king, they spoke to him and said, much longer, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more this when he says to you, watch and be clean? Well, those servants were very gentle and gracious. And Naaman realized that he was acting foolish and prideful. So he went down 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was destroyed like the flesh of the river Sihon. And he was clean. More than his flesh was destroyed, his spirit was changed. He was converted. He found salvation.
Yeah.
He came to believe in the God of heaven.
Yeah.
And he returned to Elisha, the man of God. He had all his faith and came and stood before him. And he said, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now therefore, please take a gift from the servant. But Elisha said, as the Lord did before whom I stand, I will receive nothing. Naaman urged him to take it, but Elisha refused. So Naaman said, then if not, please, let your servants be given 2 new loaves of earth, for your servants will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods. but to the Lord. So, Solomon began to understand that he could have built an altar for many things. But he thought it would be so special if he had two loaves of bread from the land of Israel, and he could build an altar back in his own country of Syria. Just the way that some people like to take a little water from that muddy Jordan River when they leave Israel. And perhaps move the water in that for them. Any water in that for them. But it's special if it comes from this way. So I'm sure that the loads of those were given to David and you don't feel it on earth. But he had something more to say. As a new convert, he wanted to do anything and everything to honor the God of heaven and earth. So Naaman said, yet in this thing, may the Lord pardon me, servant. For my master, the king of Syria, goes into the temple of Reuben, the God of Syria, to worship there. And my master leans on my hand, and I bow down in the temple of Reuben. When I bow down in the temple of women, may the Lord please pardon the servant in this thing. Naaman knew that when he had the king leaning on him, Naaman's knees would buckle a little, and he would seem to be bowing down to Reuben's God. He didn't want to be regarded as a worshiper of women anymore, even if the knees fit. Like any convert, he was filled with joy and wanted to lay aside all the evil things of the past, including idolatry. And Elisha just said to him, go with me. So Naaman departed. And I suspect that eventually Naaman said to his master, is it okay if I don't escort you into the house of living anymore, I want to worship the God of heaven and earth. But of course, maybe Naaman didn't know how to be excused from that duty. So as we think of these three people, the little people, the slave girl, and the mighty Syrian general, I like to think of the little girl, the symbol of childlike trust, and Naaman as the symbol of transformation. You may often have wondered, as I do, what I'm looking at in Luke chapter 18, verse 17, when he says, assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. That doesn't even have to be a little child, 8 years old, the way I was when I received Christ. You can be any age, but you have to have a certain childlike thought and faith. And there are other things associated with that faith. I like to think of them with the letters of the word ag, which I associate anticipation and worry. If you were fortunate to be brought up as Christian at home by kind and loving parents, as I was, then you anticipated wonderful things from time to time. I remember when I was four, and we went to a post-bearing bookstore for the little Jesus box that played Jesus Loves Me. It was designed to be an offering box to be passed around in children's Sunday school classes. So, it had a little slot in there for pouring. And if you wound it up in a very soft and gentle, instant way, this is why Jesus lost me. Well, it cost $2, which was a lot of money in 1948.
Oh, yeah.
And my parents said when I was five, I could have it. I could hardly wait for my fifth birthday to come. And sure enough, when that birthday came, God bless my parents, the music box was there for me. I still have it. played it so many times with one of them plays. But I still got it as a symbol of football for me. And the parents who taught me so early that he loved me and that I should go through. But a child has trust and anticipation. And a child has a room to look forward to being a big person. To look forward to being adult. To look forward to all the things you're going to do. People say, what are you going to do when you grow up? You have some ideas, but you find out more as you grow up.
Right.
And assume more and more responsibility with your added knowledge and capability. So, a child looks forward to growth. And as we continue in our Christian lives, we look forward to more and more growth. Because we have transformation that comes to us from God. We use the transformation in any form. Hallelujah. Just praising Him as we did in our hymn a few minutes ago. So exciting to hear all these voices raised together, singing. Hallelujah. But we also have gladness and gratitude in the time of transformation. And the transformation that comes to us as new converts is just the beginning of the transformation, is it not? Because as we go on in our Christian life, we are transformed more and more into what the Lord wants us to be. Sometimes transformed in surprising ways, in a surprising moment. Not long ago, it seemed that, as often has happened in my life, Satan was struggling with thoughts of things from the past. Stupid things, I think. Ridiculous. Misunderstanding. Betrayal of the God who has been so good to me. In my thoughts and sometimes in my words, saying ridiculous things. I kept thinking of those things, even though this long sin been confessed by me and forgiven by Jesus. You all know 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is like faithful to forgive us our sins and to forgive my sins and all unrighteousness. I knew that, but I just couldn't even accept the forgiveness of my sins. I just kept thinking about what I had done, how stupid it was. I was talking to a friend of mine, and she said, you have to forgive yourself, which is the same thing as saying you have to accept that forgiveness. But I couldn't do it. I was miserable. I felt such a heavy load. But as I continued to pray, picked up the scriptures, I heard a gentle voice, not in words that we can hear now, but in the deeper places of my spirit. And the voice says, will you do it if I ask you to? Oh, that's different. If Jesus asked you to, of course I will. Over the years, I've learned how wonderful it is to do things He asks us to do. Hard things, challenging things. Maybe it means getting on a plane and going to a conference down in the mile of the way. Whatever it means, maybe it means getting up and meeting a servant or playing a hymn when you have to find it after the singer starts singing. Thank you, Duncan, for finding it perfectly. And thank you for saying that's something different. So, you never know what design may ask us to, but if, on the basis of misplaced with the scriptures and your prayer, and you're listening for the voice of God, if you feel that He's asking you to do it, you're going to do it. But when I felt Him asking me to do it, He said, will you forgive yourself if I but I just can't do it because I want to, but I can do it because of this. And that terrible crushing word is thank you, Jesus. I just don't know how to think of myself, but if you ask me, I can do it. And you may have something in your life, in your spirit, that you need to take care of. You think, oh, I can't do it. But if you ask me to do it, I can do it. So this week, perhaps, it will come to mind, even in the midst of all the laughter and fellowship, love and friendship, the good times, maybe there's something seriously spiritual that will come to your mind. And I encourage you to do what you want. Whatever it might be, I'm sure the great things in my mind too. So we'll be doing this together. It might be spiritual, but you know what? It might also be a physical need that you have. And I will not try to tell you how to think about physical healing because we all have slightly different thoughts about that. And all of us right now are dealing with physical conditions that may not be healed until we get to glory. But there's some things that they can heal right now. 2 or 3 weeks ago, somebody stepped on my foot. Oh, not on the toes, but on the top of the foot where all those little bones are. Oh! I have such a high tolerance for pain that I didn't even think about it. But as we got closer and closer to Parker's spine, that foot was swelling up more and more. And I was just hobbling. The stairs of my house. I have a 2-story house, and normally I love walking up and down my stairs for exercise. But walking up the stairs just means painful, and walking down the stairs became almost impossible. So, a friend said, you really want to attempt to go to concert. I said, go to concert. And my friend said, well, you could give your talk remotely. I said, wait a minute. I never heard a remote talk that I enjoyed. All people who come to this conference can hear all the remote talk that they want by phone, radio, television, CD, any way you want to do it. But what they want is somebody who's there in the flesh with them. Somebody they can listen to, talk to, shake hands with, either I'm giving that talk in person or I'm not giving. So my friend said, well, I sit down and see how that foot is in a couple of days if you need to get an x-ray to fracture the bone. But by God's grace, it got better and better. And I said, stand up now with that. And I still wouldn't want to climb up and down the Washington Monument. But Tommy can tell you I practiced on the fly the stairs this morning. Oh, yes. I'm wearing real sturdy Skechers shoes, which are better than walking boots and look a lot better too. And then the other thing that happened to me was that somehow at the end of June, I had to go to an appointment in one of the big towers of office building, and I had to go to an area that had a car wash in it, and I don't know whether it was the chemicals in the car wash or something in the air conditioning system, but I came down with this awful, awful global attack. So, but most of you are very little boys. and certainly no singing voice, very different speaking voice, and nothing I did seemed to help with. So it all be good, and by God's grace, I can even sing the high hallelujah stands.
Amen. Oh my God.